somewhere in a lab that most people have never heard of, a number just moved further in one quarter than it had moved in 2 years. And 3 days after the model behind that number reached the public, the United States government ordered it shut down. Not a rumor, not a leak, a real directive citing national security. This is the story of a ceiling nobody thought would break, a machine that broke it anyway, and the reason it got switched off before the world even finished celebrating. What most people are not seeing is that this was never really about a test score. For 2 years, there was a wall. A benchmark called Humanity's Last Exam sat there like a locked vault, and every model that tried it walked away with less than half the answers right. Not a soft, forgiving half. A brutal, expert-level half, built from nearly 1,000 contributors across mathematics, physics, philosophy, and the outer edges of human knowledge, deliberately engineered so that machines would fail. For 2 years, the best labs on the planet threw their most expensive systems at it, and the wall did not move past 50%. Read that again. 2 years. The kind of stagnation that makes engineers quietly start asking whether they have hit the actual ceiling of what these systems can do. And then, in a single quarter, that wall did not just crack. It came down entirely. To understand why that matters, you have to understand what came before it, because this exam was not built by accident. It was built as an act of desperation. For years, the industry had leaned on a test called MMLU, a sprawling set of over 16,000 questions across 57 academic subjects, the closest thing AI had to a universal report card. But report cards only work if the students can still fail. When GPT-3 first set that test, it scored around 35%. Today, every frontier model clears 88%, and the benchmark is considered functionally saturated at the top, meaning a 2% gap between models is statistically meaningless noise. The test that was supposed to separate the best from the rest could no longer tell you anything. So the researchers built something harder, something designed on purpose to survive contact with the smartest machines on Earth for as long as possible. And here is where it gets worse for the people who designed it. It did not survive very long at all. By March of this year, the leaderboard for that supposedly unbreakable exam looked almost humble. The top model in the world, one of OpenAI's most advanced systems, was sitting at 46%. Behind it, a cluster of frontier systems from OpenAI, Anthropic, and Google were bunched together in the high 30s and low 40s, close enough that engineers were still debating whether the wall would survive the decade. That was the consensus in March. Slow, grinding, incremental progress. The kind of progress that makes headlines feel routine. Nobody was bracing for what came next. Then July happened, and the number that had refused to move for 2 years suddenly did something almost violent. 14 models crossed the 50% mark that had been zero 18 months earlier, and the new leader in the world sat at 64.5%, an 18.5-point jump in a single quarter. Think about what that actually means. It means the gap this test closed in 3 months was larger than the gap it had failed to close in the previous 2 years combined. It means the wall did not erode. It shattered. And when a wall shatters that fast, the first question any serious observer asks is not how impressive is this, it is what changed and who benefits. The name behind that number was not a lab nobody had heard of. It was Anthropic, and the model doing the breaking had a name built for exactly this kind of moment, Mythos. As of early July, Claude Mythos 5 topped the exam at 64.5%, tied almost exactly with its public sibling Claude Fable 5, with OpenAI's most advanced system trailing behind in the high 50s. Two models, cut from the same underlying system, occupying the top of a leaderboard that had humiliated every machine that touched it for 2 straight years. This is not a marginal win. This is not a company inching ahead by a percentage point to justify a press release. This is a lab pulling so far ahead of a supposedly unbreakable test that the test itself now looks like it was never designed for what just arrived. But here is where it gets worse, because the jump itself was not even the strangest part of the story. According to researchers who track these numbers obsessively, most of that 18.5-point leap did not come from a bigger brain. Most of the gain came from tool-assisted protocols and heavier test-time reasoning, not from larger base models grinding through more raw computation. In plain language, the machines did not just get smarter in the way people assume. They got better at using tools, at checking their own work, at reasoning longer before answering. Which means the real story is not that intelligence suddenly doubled overnight. The real story is that a new method of thinking, layered on top of existing intelligence, produced results that looked indistinguishable from a leap in raw capability. And once you understand that distinction, a much more uncomfortable question opens up. If test-time reasoning can manufacture a score jump this large, how do you know the next jump is real progress, and not just a smarter way of gaming the clock? That question gets louder when you look at the rest of the benchmark landscape, because humanity's last exam is not the only wall that has been quietly falling apart this year. Enterprise agentic systems, the ones companies actually deploy to do real work, show a 37% gap between what they score on lab benchmarks and how they actually perform once deployed, with cost variations of up to 50 times for similar accuracy. Sit with that for a second. A model can post a spectacular number in a controlled test and then fall apart by more than a third once it is thrown into the messy, unpredictable reality of an actual business workflow. The benchmark says one thing. The real world says another. And the gap between those two stories is where entire companies are making million-dollar procurement decisions right now, often without realizing how wide that gap has become. And it gets worse again because the benchmarks themselves are not clean. Data contamination, benchmark gaming, and annotation error rates above 50% are actively undermining the reliability of these evaluations. Read that again, 50% annotation error rates. On some of the tests the entire industry uses to decide which model is smarter than which other model, more than half the grading itself may be flawed. This is not a fringe criticism from skeptics on the internet. This is the documented state of the measurement system the entire AI economy is currently using to allocate billions of dollars in investment, enterprise contracts, and national strategy. What most people are not seeing is that the industry is racing at record speed toward a finish line that keeps getting redrawn, using a stopwatch that half the time cannot be trusted. So when a model shatters a benchmark that was specifically engineered to resist exactly this kind of shattering, the honest response is not just excitement. It is suspicion. Is this genuine capability, or is this a system that has quietly learned the shape of the test itself? The exam's public question set has been circulating since early 2025, which means newer training data may already contain fragments of it, even as the benchmark's own creators maintain a private, held-out portion specifically to guard against that risk. The people who built this exam are not naive. They saw this exact scenario coming, and yet here we are, watching a 2-year wall fall in one quarter anyway. Whatever the explanation turns out to be, one thing is now certain. The old assumption that a benchmark could stay hard for years is dead. This is not chaos. This is a new tempo, and the entire industry has to recalibrate around it. Now here is where the story stops being about a spreadsheet and starts being about power. Because at almost the exact same moment Anthropic's models were rewriting the top of that leaderboard, a rival was making its own play for the throne. OpenAI's newest flagship system, released in the same window, posted a state-of-the-art accuracy of 82, 7% on a demanding command-line reasoning test, and reached 58, 6% on a benchmark built from real, unresolved GitHub engineering issues, solving more of them end-to-end than any of its predecessors. This is not a company standing still while it watches its rival dominate a leaderboard. This is two of the most well-funded labs on the planet moving in parallel, each posting numbers that would have sounded like science fiction 18 months earlier. That attention arrived faster than almost anyone expected. Anthropic had launched its new tier of models, publicly touted as state-of-the-art across a wide range of benchmarks, on June 9th. Just 3 days later, on the evening of June 12th, the United States government ordered them taken down. 3 days. A model spends years in development, gets released to the public with the kind of fanfare usually reserved for a flagship product launch, tops the hardest exam in the industry, and within 72 hours, the federal government steps in and pulls the plug. Think about what kind of signal that sends. It tells you that somewhere in Washington, someone is watching these capability jumps not as a curiosity, but as a potential threat. The directive came from the Commerce Department, invoking Export Control Authority, and it did not target foreign adversaries buying access from overseas. It targeted every foreign national anywhere in the world, including Anthropic's own non-citizen employees working inside the company's offices in the United States. This is not a narrow surgical restriction. This is a blunt instrument, wide enough to catch the company's own staff in its blast radius. And because there was no fast, reliable way to separate one nationality from another across a global cloud infrastructure on a few hours' notice, the company made a decision that tells you everything about how serious this order actually was. It shut the models down for everyone, every customer, every region, every use case, gone almost overnight. The blackout lasted 19 days. 19 days in an industry that measures its competitive cycles in weeks, not months. 19 days in which enterprise customers who had just begun integrating the new models into live workflows were suddenly left stranded, forced back onto older systems mid-project. And here's where it gets worse, because the stated reason behind the shutdown was not some abstract fear of general AI risk. It centered on a specific reported jailbreak technique, a way of bypassing the model's safety guardrails that had reportedly been demonstrated to government officials, with concerns that it could unlock unrestricted cyber capabilities. A jailbreak. A single technique for tricking the system into doing something it was designed to refuse. That was enough to take down one of the most capable AI models ever released, worldwide, within 72 hours of its public debut. But this is where the story stops being simple, because Anthropic did not go quietly. The company's own testing found that the specific vulnerabilities identified in the report could also be discovered by other, less capable models already on the market, including systems from OpenAI and other competitors, and that the technique did not expose any unique, superhuman-level cyber capability. In other words, according to the company being shut down, the thing that triggered a national security order was not some singular, unprecedented danger unique to their system. It was a flaw shared to varying degrees across the entire industry. And this is the moment where the story shifts from a safety incident into something closer to a power struggle. Because if that claim is accurate, the question stops being, was this model dangerous? And becomes, why was this specific model the one that got singled out? The answer to that question involves names that do not usually appear in AI benchmark stories. Reports indicated that Amazon's own researchers had flagged the vulnerability to officials, and that a senior White House advisor publicly claimed the company had refused to fix the issue, a characterization the company disputed. Amazon, a company that is simultaneously one of the largest cloud providers on the planet and a major investor in rival AI labs, allegedly playing a role in surfacing the very report that triggered a government shutdown of a competitor's flagship model. Whether that is coincidence, self-interest, or genuine security concern is exactly the kind of question that does not get a clean answer. And that ambiguity is precisely what makes this feel less like a technical dispute and more like a chess match being played across boardrooms, regulatory agencies, and the White House at the same time. And then, just as quickly as it arrived, the order began to lift. On June 26th, the Commerce Secretary sent a letter granting a narrower slice of access back, roughly 100 vetted companies and federal agencies, determining that appropriate safeguards were now in place for those specific trusted partners. Not a full reversal, a controlled, staged reopening, the kind that reads less like an apology and more like a negotiated settlement. Power was being redistributed in real time, and access to one of the most capable AI systems on Earth had become something closer to a diplomatic privilege than a commercial product. 4 days later, on June 30th, the government confirmed a full lift of the export controls, closing out a 19-day disruption that had rattled enterprise customers who depended on these systems for live operations. 19 days after a model broke a benchmark that had resisted every AI system on the planet for 2 years, it was back online, fully restored, with new safeguards bolted on and a great deal of unanswered tension left behind it. But this is where you have to stop and ask the question nobody in the celebration seems eager to ask out loud. If a model this capable can be switched off by a single government letter within 72 hours of release, what does that actually tell you about who is really in control of the most powerful technology on the planet? Because it is not the lab that built it, and it may not even be the market that buys it. The consequences of those 19 days did not stay contained inside one company's press releases. Reports suggested that the standoff coincided with a swift rise of Chinese open source models, systems that were closing the capability gap with leading American labs while undercutting them dramatically on cost, prompting concern among tech executives and investors that the shutdown was handing valuable time to overseas competitors. Think about the irony sitting inside that sentence. A government shuts down its own country's most advanced AI model over a national security concern, and in doing so, potentially widens the exact opening that a geopolitical rival needs to close the gap. This is not a hypothetical concern raised by outsiders with an axe to grind. This is the argument being made by people inside the industry itself, watching a domestic regulatory action possibly function as an unintentional gift to the very competitors the regulation was supposedly meant to keep behind. And the ripple effects did not stop with one lab. Around the same time, a rival lab reportedly agreed to stagger the rollout of its own next-generation model, releasing it first to a small group of trusted partners rather than the general public, under similar pressure from the same government. One shutdown became a pattern. A single enforcement action against one company began reshaping how an entire industry approaches its own launch strategy. Suddenly, releasing your most powerful model directly to the public, the move that used to be the industry's biggest marketing weapon, started to look like a legal and political liability instead. And this is the part that should genuinely unsettle you. The fastest moving industry on the planet just watched a single government letter change how every major lab thinks about shipping its own product. Because make no mistake, this was not treated as a minor regulatory footnote inside the industry. A former research director at a major AI lab called the episode a genuinely significant moment, one that raises hard questions about how frontier labs are now expected to interact with government authority, and whether every future frontier release will require some form of government sign-off before it reaches the public. Read that last part again. Whether every future release needs sign-off, not a hypothetical worry about some distant future where AI becomes dangerous enough to regulate. A live, present tense question being asked by people inside the field right now about whether the era of a lab simply shipping its best model to the public unsupervised is already over. What makes this whole sequence so disorienting is the order of events. Normally, a government intervenes because the public sees a danger and demands a response. Here, the public did not see the danger first. Anthropic maintained publicly that it had not even received disclosure of a jailbreak that led to an actual harmful outcome, insisting that the specific issue raised was narrow, non-universal, and provided no capability beyond what was already available from other publicly deployed models. If that account is accurate, then the sequence of this story becomes almost unsettling in its implications. A model breaks a 2-year benchmark ceiling. 3 days later, it gets shut down worldwide over a vulnerability the company insists was neither unique nor severe. 19 days after that, it comes back online, largely unchanged in capability, now distributed through a more controlled, tiered system of access instead of an open public release. The technology did not fundamentally change during those 19 days. What changed was who got to decide who was allowed to use it and under what conditions. That shift from open commercial access to permissioned government-shaped distribution may end up being the most important part of this entire story, more important than the benchmark score that started it. Because benchmarks come and go. Every ceiling eventually falls. That has been the pattern of this entire field since it began. But a precedent for how governments intervene in the release of frontier AI that does not reset with the next model cycle, that precedent compounds. Once a government has demonstrated it can shut down a fully deployed, publicly available AI system within 72 hours over a disputed vulnerability, that capability does not disappear once the immediate crisis passes. It becomes a tool sitting in a drawer, available for the next model, and the one after that, and the one after that. And this is where the geopolitical layer of the story becomes impossible to ignore. The global race for AI supremacy is not a two-player contest anymore. As of this year, the leading labs sit remarkably close together on independent measures of overall model quality, with American, Chinese, and other international labs occupying the same top tier. And the gap between the leading closed model and the leading open model has widened only slightly compared to where it stood roughly a year and a half earlier. That is not a commanding, unassailable American lead. That is a tight, high-stakes cluster of global competitors separated by margins, thin enough that a single national policy decision, like a 19-day shutdown of your own country's most advanced model, can meaningfully shift the balance of who is actually ahead. So now, hold both halves of this story in your head at the same time. On one side, a benchmark wall that took 2 years to build and less than 3 months to demolish, torn apart by a model using new reasoning techniques nobody fully expected to scale this fast. On the other side, a government willing to switch off that exact model, worldwide, within 72 hours of its public release, over a security concern the company disputes, only to reopen access 19 days later through a narrower, permissioned system that looks a lot more like a controlled channel than an open market. Two forces pulling in opposite directions, capability accelerating faster than anyone predicted, and control tightening faster than anyone prepared for. What ties these two threads together is a truth that is easy to miss when you are only looking at the leaderboard. The benchmark score was never really the finish line, it was the trigger. It was the moment that forced a government to notice how fast the gap between impressive research demo and publicly available superhuman capability had collapsed. Humanity's last exam still holds even the best AI systems to roughly a third of the accuracy of human domain experts, who average around 90% on the same questions, exposing a gap larger than 50 points that no older, easier benchmark had ever managed to reveal. Even after the biggest quarterly jump this benchmark has ever recorded, even after 2 entire years of a stalled wall collapsing practically overnight, the machines are still not close to the humans on the hardest possible questions. And yet, that partial, incomplete leap was still enough to trigger a national security shutdown within 3 days. If a system this far from human-level performance on the hardest test in existence can already trigger this kind of government intervention, what happens the next time a lab closes that 50-point gap by half? What happens the time after that, when the gap closes entirely? Nobody currently has a confident answer to that question, and that is precisely the point. The people building these systems do not fully agree among themselves about what just happened over these past few months, whether it represents a genuine leap in machine intelligence or a highly effective new way of squeezing more performance out of existing intelligence through better tool use and longer reasoning chains. The government does not appear to have a stable, transparent framework for deciding which capability jumps warrant intervention and which ones do not. It moved with extraordinary speed once, and it is not clear what conditions would trigger that same speed again, or whether the next trigger will come with any warning at all. And the public, the people who will ultimately use, depend on, compete against, and live alongside whatever emerges from this race, largely found out about all of it after it had already happened, reading the story in fragments days and weeks after the decisions were already made behind closed doors. What we do know is this: a wall that stood for 2 years fell in one quarter. A model that broke it was pulled from public access in 3 days. A government reopened that access 19 days later, but only for a select, vetted group, while the broader public waited on the outside. And somewhere in the space between those three facts sits a question that nobody, not the labs, not the regulators, not the researchers, not the rival companies watching from the sidelines, has actually answered yet. Who gets to decide when a machine has become too capable for the open market? And once that decision has been made once, who is going to stop it from being made again, faster, and with far less explanation, the very next time a wall like this one comes down?